Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The elections have consequences, and we see here in Pennsylvania that absolutely do with the re-election of Governor Tom Wolf for another, well, now at this point, a little over 3 years to go. But his policies definitely have become very detrimental to Pennsylvanians as a whole, and his most recent executive order was dealing with carbon. It's like a cap and trade type thing, and it will increase taxes. And I have today as my guest Greg Wrightstone. He's a geologist and has written several books on this issue of global warming. He's an expert witness, has been in Harrisburg giving testimonies such as that, and we just really appreciate his time. Thanks, Greg, for being with us.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're trying to, Governor Wolf executed an executive order on October 3rd, allegedly that's going to bring us into the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, joining 9 other states, mostly Northeast states, or all of them Northeast states. And what this will do is bring us into this initiative and establish a cap-and-trade system.
I think explain what that is. What is cap-and-trade system?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to go through that and what it is.
Yeah.
So this is, number one, it's only targeting electricity manufacturing, electricity creation. So it's targeting coal-fired and natural gas-fired electricity generation. So it doesn't have anything to do with transportation. There's another worse one that we can talk about on another time that is looming that's probably even worse than this one.
Oh, you're kidding.
Executive
order he's considering? Is that what
No, there was a petition that was filed by environmental groups that says we're violating the Pennsylvania Constitution in terms of clean air and clean water. And they said it's the government's duty to bring us. It'll be basically a carbon tax, and it will be onerous, and it will be pretty wide ranging.
So they want this on top of what Governor Wolf has already done to try to appease.
Well, this is just the start.
Oh wow,
Diane. Yeah, this is the beginning.
Wow.
So what this happens today? Let's just deal with this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because this is something that's going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does will establish what they call it. They say it's market-based. It's not market-based. If it was market-based, we let the free markets
absolutely
decide prices mm-hmm. rather than the government.
Right.
So what they do is, but they've established a market, and then into this market, the electricity generators would buy carbon, what they call carbon offsets, for each ton or million tons of CO2 that they expect to emit through the year. And right now the going rate's $5.20 a ton.
So they buy carbon, I mean, to me this
offsets.
Is just, and they're guessing how much carbon they're going to, it just boggles my mind that they're, this whole concept, that's all I was trying
yeah.
to wrap my head around.
And if they underproduce carbon dioxide, they can sell the credits they've purchased, and if they produce more, they need to go buy more. But the end result, or actually the goal, is to artificially increase electricity costs
mm-hmm.
from coal and natural gas, simply. And what that does then, it will make, that'll make wind and solar
mm-hmm.
become more competitive, and because they can't compete on an even playing
right.
field right now. This will make, since we're raising the cost for coal and natural gas fired electricity, makes them look better, and then you'll have a big pot of money that will go to the state government and sit in a fund, and then that's all at their discretion what they do with it. That's to be determined.
Probably
might be home retrofitting homes or offices. It might be
to be able to use the alternative energy,
right? Or okay. it might well go to subsidizing Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Well, that's probably, that's what we always say that here. As always, whatever tax is raised, it always goes to help Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or both.
Right. Yeah. It'll probably go to the mass transit systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It may also go to things like increased subsidies for wind and solar, things like that. But the end result, really, basically, in short, it's a tax that'll increase our energy costs on each and one of the citizens. And in particular, we've seen in the other states that have imposed this, we've seen that energy-intensive industries fled those states.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a 34% decrease, according to a report done last year, in the other nine states that enacted this, a 34% decrease in energy-intensive industries. And because if they can get up and leave, they will.
Exactly. They will. Oh, yeah, exactly. To cut cost.
I mean, if it hurts, just stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. They said, well, okay, it won't hurt nearly as much down in Ohio or Missouri or some other place. And what we'll have here is our neighboring states, Ohio and West Virginia, have no intention of joining this initiative.
And they will benefit from Wolf's executive order.
Yeah.
If it goes forth.
They're standing there with open arms.
Oh, just hoping it does. Isn't it supposed to take effect, next year, 2020?
Well, that's not really clear.
Okay.
They're saying it might be a two-year process to get this whole thing through.
Okay.
And let's see, Governor Wolf was just elected last year, so he's got another, three years?
3 years, yeah.
And it looks like they may be able to do an end run around the legislature.
I think it will
end up going for sure to the Supreme Court of the, and we know how that's worked out recently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, because I thought to raise taxes, I thought that was a legislative job, that it was something the legislature should do, not just...
Yeah. But they're not calling it taxes.
Okay. This sounds very familiar.
Yeah,
like
that.
Maybe Obamacare and, very familiar. So they're not calling it a tax, even though it is a tax. Because that whatever additional cost is going to, that the energy company that produces electricity is going to be paying, they're going to be passing it on to the consumer.
Oh, absolutely. They're not going to eat that. They're a utility.
Yeah.
They're not going to, it'll be a direct pass on to everyone buying their electricity. I mean, as I drive, my wife and I always play a game as we drive the turnpike either to or from Harrisburg area. You know, we get those seven wind turbines that sit there at Somerset.
In Somerset, yeah.
Yeah. So the last three times, there have only been two of them operating.
Sometimes
there's one.
Wow.
It's rare that there's more than two. So I'm not sure what's going on. It might be they've been down for a long, long time. Maybe it's a maintenance issue they have there.
So how much electricity are the seven of them producing?
Yeah. Well, how much subsidies did they get to have non-operating wind turbines?
That's true. How many birds are they killing? How many eagles have they killed? I mean,
they're not killing any because they're not working.
And they also aren't producing any kind of electricity.
Yesterday the hearing was a real victory. For climate change justice warriors. We had a level playing field.
Wow.
Five of us testified in favor of rejecting this regional greenhouse gas initiative. They had five others. Man, they were climate change wackos. They were extremists. I mean, they couldn't come up with enough dire things that were going to happen unless we did this. We were called, the one fella called us... the best thing he said about us, and me in particular, was a professional science denier. And then he compared us to Holocaust, people who believe that, the World Trade Center was brought down. He went through all these...
He equated you guys to Holocaust deniers.
Right. And he went through, and he embarrassed himself.
Well, good. I mean, but at least there was a level playing field, so that's always good when you're given a fair opportunity to speak and give your views.
Well, Daryl Metcalf was the chairman, and he's fearless.
Yeah,
he
absolutely
is from Butler County, and he rules with an iron hand.
Yeah.
And it was he doesn't take guff from anybody, and I loved it.
Yeah,
and he's he shut the people down when they needed shut down.
So did they try to silence you guys? Did they try to talk over you and such?
No.
Okay.
No, that did not happen.
Okay.
But whenever the questioning got a little bit too tough, but I held my own, I was asked what my funding sources were. And luckily I had done my homework, and I had a chart showing the amount of donations that each one of the Democrats had received from environmental companies. So I turned it right back on her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you said that this executive order will bring us into the fold, so to speak, with, was it 9 other northeastern states?
New Jersey was in it. Whenever Chris Christie was in charge, uh-huh. he got them out of it.
Okay.
And they're talking now about getting back in. So there'll be a total of 11.
Okay.
There are other states. California in particular has a similar cap and trade.
We see how well it works in California as far as the cost of living and such. And so the whole purpose, of course, is to save the nation because it's all going to go away in like 12 years, according to Ocasio-Cortez.
And one of the main points that I brought up yesterday, I look at the long-term geologic aspects of this and put what's happening today in a much longer-term perspective than the Ayatollahs of alarmism use. And so that was part of my presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I also shot down the justifications that they cited. Mm-hmm. Wolf is in the RGGI statement, his executive summary, he pointed particularly to the flooding in 2018 and that the precipitation has been increasing and flooding's increasing. I documented that that's actually not the case, that some of the worst, biggest rain events occurred back in the 40s and 50s and have been in decline. We're some of the lowest right now. 2018 did have was a high precipitation year.
Mm-hmm.
It had some of the highest, it was the highest precipitation levels of the state of Pennsylvania that have been recorded.
But it's something like that. It's always fluctuating, just like the weather always, that's just part of it. I mean, there's times
you're confusing weather with climate. But the big thing, my big takeaway that I wanted them to come away with was if we do this and we enact this, and I went back and I used the model for the assessment of greenhouse gas-induced change. It's called MAGIC, and it was developed with the EPA, and I used their own numbers for how much temperature rise would be averted with a reduction of CO2. Because CO2 is increasing. It's mainly due to the CO2 that increases is mainly due to our burning of fossil fuels. And it's a greenhouse gas, so it has some warming effect on the atmosphere. I believe all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's very modest, and it's overwhelmed by the same natural forces that have been driving temperatures since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
So having said that, I calculated and took the numbers from the state and how much CO2 the state emits, and the electricity generation makes up 37% of that. Using those numbers, I was able to calculate how much temperature rise would be averted if we did this and we got rid of 100% of CO2 from electricity generation, the degree of warming that we would see by the year 2050 was 1/1000th of a degree Fahrenheit by 2050.
Wow. That's going to be a big difference.
You can't even measure that.
I know. 1/1000th. 1/1000th.
It really skyrockets by 2100. It goes up to 3/1000ths. So, break out your bikini, honey.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you're going to be.
So they're going to tax everyone to death. And I'm thinking of those who are especially on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
And their electricity. And that's a lot of that. The same things happened in Europe where they've become, at least they had been, I think it's still the same, dependent on wind power. And electric bills skyrocketed, and some of the elderly were dying during the winter from cold because they did not have the money to turn the heat up.
Yeah. There's the largest study of its kind done by Dr. Antonio Gasparini and a large team of physicians around the world. They looked at 74 million temperature-related deaths around the world and found that 74 million temperature-related deaths. And found that 20 times as many people die due to cold as due to heat. So just by using that, global warming would save lives.
Yeah, true. Plus, look at the longer, the longer growing seasons, the additional crops and everything like that.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked before. I'm a big proponent of our changing climate, the slight rise in temperature, the increase in CO2 is leading to an Earth that's thriving and prospering.
Yeah.
And humanity's benefiting from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely need some global warming here in Pennsylvania, especially this time of year. It's starting to get cold. We're going to have snow. so we could use some of that global warming so we didn't have all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to happen. So, but you know, the amount of temperature change that you're talking about, if this executive order is implemented, it's not worth it. I mean,
no.
Are they looking at the numbers, or I mean, the real numbers, or they're just listening to the environmental wackos who are throwing out these dire
stories? They didn't dispute what I had to say.
They
said,
did not.
Well, we're just part of the whole big picture. Everyone has to work together, and that's to enact meaningful temperature controls. They think they can dial the temperature of the Earth up and down by changing the CO2 levels, and that's not how it works.
And that's so crazy.
The point of the matter is China and India, and China by far is the largest consumer of coal and consumer and emitter of carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
India is number two. U.S. is third. But India and China have absolutely no intention of scaling back.
No.
And they've the people there were kind of going, well, you know, the woman in charge, one of the women, professor from University of Pennsylvania was there. Oh, she said, well, both of those countries have signed on to the Paris Climate Change Agreement.
That they never do adhere to.
Daryl Metcalf asked her point blank. He says, okay, they signed the agreement. Are they adhering to it?
Exactly.
Well, exactly. They're not. India and China have just recently both announced expansion of both coal mines and coal-fired generation facilities.
So they've signed on to a piece of paper that says, yes, we're going to do this, this, and yet this, but yet they announced that they're going to expand their coal firing and, you know, their use of coal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's all just a photo op, so to speak, when they sign on to these things. And then everyone had a fit because President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Paris Accord. But yet we here in the U.S. are doing more to try to fight. You know, we're trying to keep the air clean and keep the water clean and such as that. But we're no longer part of the Paris Climate Accord. And that's always bugs me that, you know, you said that their view is that if, say, this organization that Wolf has just signed on to, Pennsylvania on to, the northeastern part of the country, so we're supposed to impact the temperature of the entire country by just doing our thing here? I mean, always bug me because there's no walls around these states, at least not at this point. No physical wall that would keep our good work in here. I don't understand. Anyway, some states were suing, and I don't remember which states were involved, but they were suing. One state was suing another state because of the pollutants that came from that other state. This was a year or so ago. I don't remember all the details.
It is a fact that any reduction in CO2 that we see would just be so incredibly and infinitesimally small that it's just well below anything we can even measure.
Absolutely.
And they want to. How many jobs lost is that worth? Well, I'll tell you how many. Zero. It's worth zero jobs lost.
Yeah.
But that's what they want to do. They want to cripple the state's economy. They want to make us less competitive compared to neighboring states.
And Pennsylvania's not really that business friendly as it is. Then they want to do this.
Oh, my goodness, they're making it worse.
Yeah.
And what this is really a regressive taxation system, and by that I mean that it affects what you had said before, the poorest among us the most, that they're on fixed incomes. They pay a higher percentage of their income for energy.
Yeah.
And so what this is doing is hurting the poorest among us the most.
Yeah.
I'm a contributing writer for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, which is a Christian group.
Right.
And they believe that, or we do, that we should use all of Earth's resources, or what they say, all of God's creation, for the betterment of mankind.
Absolutely.
And do it as good stewards.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty common sense thing to do, but a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to use what we have and what we've been given to better mankind.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I think we should.
Well, God put it here for us to use for sure. So do you think that if we called Governor Wolf and complained, did that make any difference? Are there any kind of action steps we can take?
No.
No. Okay.
I mean, it would make you feel better, maybe.
Well, yeah. Okay, thank you for so much frustration.
There's the, any calls they get will be just from crackpot right-wing zealots that don't understand. Any call that they get, they'll be just smirking they'll be pointing in the phone and here's another one.
Another wacko. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you get, you know, God help you, go call and complain about it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I did.
Yeah.
But is he going to change his mind because of that? No.
Because he's been pulled.
Right. I mean, if you would just look at what I presented yesterday about this just 1/1000th of a degree Fahrenheit change of temperature.
That's ridiculous.
That's what they want to do to cripple our state.
Wow. 1/1000th.
And I'm not having any part of it.
No.
I'll do everything I can in order to fight against this.
Absolutely. Ken, I know you've written several books and stuff. How can folks contact you?
I'd start at the website, inconvenientfacts.xyz. I've got a lot of great information. I've got a blog there on this and shows some of this information we talked about in detail. We've also got a smartphone app that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you all 60 inconvenient facts in the palm of your hand. Just go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and just search for Inconvenient Facts.
Okay.
It should pop right up.
Okay. Now, what was the website again?
Inconvenientfacts.xyz.
Inconvenientfacts.xyz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure appreciate it. And do encourage our listeners to check into this because we're being fed a lie when it comes to this whole global warming, climate change type, you know, the whole, it's an agenda to take away our freedoms, basically. So I do encourage our listeners to check into that. And thanks so much for, Greg, for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.